Hello, my name is John Calladine, and can I welcome you to this podcast to bring you some updates on current issues. I will be talking about charitable incorporated organisations, CIO for short, Finance Act changes, gift aid, international aspects, and Scottish aspects. So, let's talk about CIOs first. Like most of you, I've been waiting for a number of years for these to be introduced. And if you've read my blogs on this subject, I've always had a certain sense of scepticism as to whether they would ever be introduced. And I'm afraid that still looks like the case. The latest communication on the subject indicates that the earliest date they will be available is the spring of 2011. The problem is that although the primary legislation was brought in by the Charities Act 2006, the detailed secondary legislation is still to be agreed. Whether the new government will have a desire to press ahead with this, or whether the underlying issues are so complex that legislation will be dropped, remains to be seen. To my mind, the issue has always been as to what is the difference between a charitable incorporated organisation, CIO, and a company limited by guarantee. I'm sure it was hoped that the CIO would have lesser rules and regulations, more simple to create and administer, flexibility, etc. But of course, if the CIOs are to have limited liability protection, then there must be some protecting legislation. Any charitable organisation which has come to me over the last few years, I've always taken them down the route of a company limited by guarantee. In my opinion, the only difference comparing a company limited by guarantee with a CIO is that with the company limited by guarantee, you have to file the accounts with Companies House. The statutory accounts, disclosure notes, etc. remain very much the same. It has been suggested that a CIO can prepare receipts and payments accounts to a level of $250,000 income per year, which will also mean that an unqualified independent examiner can be involved, and the CIO still have limited liability protection. To me, this does not seem right. We wait to see what happens. The 2010 budget, now the First Finance Act 2010. This brought some interesting matters for charities. The original budget press releases talked about extending UK charity tax relief to organisations in Europe by introducing a definition of a charity, a charitable company, and a charitable trust. This appears to be enacted in Schedule 6 to the Finance Act 2010, but a review of this is far too complex for the purposes of this podcast. But listen to the new definitions as set out in Schedule 6. A charity means a body of persons or trust that A. is established for charitable purposes only, B. meets a jurisdiction condition, C. meets the registration condition, and D. meets the management condition. One of the purposes, I believe, of the jurisdiction clauses is to extend charity tax relief to certain organisations in the EU, Norway and Iceland. The management condition is an interesting observation. A body of persons or trust meets a management condition if its managers are fit and proper persons to be managers of the body or trust. We look forward to understanding the definition of a fit and proper person. It is interesting to note that HM Revenue and Customs are saying that they will publish in due course the name and address of any body of persons or trust that appears to them to meet or at any time to have met the definition of a charity. I would hope to write a blog on this later in the year when more information becomes available. Overseas matters. It appears it is going to be possible to get tax relief on gifts to organisations in the EU which will be considered charities. It is a difficult area when charities operate overseas outside of the EU, especially if they are providing services in the overseas country. There are the political, cultural, and legal issues involved, let alone, say, VAT. Many charities avoid this particular difficulty by the setting up of an NGO, a non-governmental organisation, in the country of operation. These are, in effect, separate legal entities which provide the services and oversee the projects, leaving the UK charity just to give money directly to them. For example, potentially, if the UK charity were to purchase services from overseas suppliers, and those supplies, services were required for a wholly non-business purpose, then if the charity is VAT registered, it would be required to self-account the VAT on those services under the new places of supply rules. Just a minor worry. Gift aid. The changes in the Finance Act will have an effect on gift aid. It will be necessary when making a claim that the charity has to prove that those signing the claim are fit and proper persons, as well as the charity being registered with an appropriate regulator, i.e. the Charity Commission in England and Wales, and OSCA in Scotland. There is also a suggestion that at some point, small charities may be limited to one claim per year, potentially causing cash flow problems. Those of you who work for charities and are looking for ways to increase your income, do not forget about gift aid on the sale of donated goods. The sale of donated goods is, of course, zero-rated for VAT purposes and is regarded as non-trading for direct tax purposes. It is possible to obtain gift aid relief on the value of the sale of the goods. Appropriate paperwork has to be completed, of course, the donor agreeing that when the goods were sold, he donates the money to the charity, signs the appropriate gift aid declaration certificate, enabling the charity to get tax relief, as well as the monies raised. One important aspect of this is that the donor should always be told the sum of money involved, just in case it turns out to be a valuable antique. Details of how this scheme works can be obtained from the appropriate websites, and in particular HM Revenue and Customs. And finally, Scotland. Scottish charities are regulated by the Office of the Scottish Charity Regulator, OSCA for short. New guidance has recently been published for independent examination in Scotland, and details can be found on their website at www.oscar.org.uk. The charity accounts, brackets Scotland Regulations 2006, apply, and new changes are being introduced, applying for all accounting periods beginning on or after 1st of April 2011. 1. The threshold is being raised where it becomes mandatory for charities to prepare accrual accounts, and below which receipts and payments accounts can be prepared. This is increasing from £100,000 per annum to £250,000 per annum. This, of course, would only apply to non-company charities, as incorporated organisations have to prepare accrual accounts anyway. 2. The asset test for audit. The gross threshold will rise from 2.8 million assets to 3.26 million assets, in line with company law. And 3. The definition of gross income is to be simplified to total recorded income, not including the receipt of income from an asset in a permanent or expendable endowment fund. Well, I trust this short update proves to be useful to you. Thank you for listening to this podcast.